book of Mark, chapter number 10. If you don't have a Bible and there's someone that stands near you who does, just sort of slide over there and look on their Bible while we're reading the Scripture. What we're reading tonight is the Word of God. If you haven't heard from God yet today, you're getting ready to. Because all you have to do to hear from God is open this Bible. This is the Word of God. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Quite a question. Anybody interested in eternal life? I'm planning on it, aren't you? This young man had it on his mind. He came running. He wasn't nonchalant. He came running. "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, number one, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." Notice Jesus did not rebuke him for calling him good. He just wanted to know if the young man understood why he was calling him good. Because Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. He was Emmanuel, God with us. He went on to say, "Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal. Do not bear false witness." That means don't lie. "Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved. He came running, and he went away grieved. For he had great possessions. I would like to preach for just a few minutes tonight a message I believe God has for someone in this building. I want to preach on all or nothing. You may be seated. We live in a time when Christianity has so many different colors. Frankly, so many different messages that we've almost lost our understanding of what Christianity is. But if you lay aside all of the latest commentaries and all the latest theories and open your Bible, you're going to find that Christianity is simply an all or nothing religion. You can try to dilute it to make it more acceptable to people. But Christianity was never designed to be acceptable to people. It was designed to be acceptable to God. And here this young man here would probably qualify to be on almost any church board. I've kept all the commandments. Matter of fact, you might want to vote him in as your pastor. And he had a desire for God because he came running. And he inquired of the Lord, "What must I do to have eternal life?" Jesus listed the commandments. "Not a problem. I've done them all." And then Jesus uttered those words, "One thing you lack." There's one thing that separates you from eternal life. Would it be possible for that to be true for some of us here this evening? If you met Jesus Christ face to face tonight, would he say to you,
You're doing good, but you lack one thing. And Jesus penetrated to the core of that man's life because he read his heart and saw where his attachments were. And he put his finger on the one thing that was between that man and God and said, right there's the thing I want. One thing you lack. And the young man went away sorrowfully because that was the one thing he loved more than God. And Jesus Christ came to this world to make sure we understood that if we're going to serve Him, we serve Him above everything. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. What straight words. Unless you hate your mom, your dad, your wife, your children, your brethren. Does that mean that? And even your own life. What's he saying? He's saying, I have to be everything to you. If you really want to be a Christian and you want to discover the ecstasy and the sublime joy of what a true Christian is, you've got to sell totally out. You know, there's a lot of people that are disillusioned with Christianity because they've never tried the real thing. Have you ever been hungry for a good ice cream cone? And you ended up going to McDonald's and it was okay, but just wasn't quite like Baskin-Robbins. Butter pecan on a waffle cone. Two dips, please. Oh, I'm on the message tonight. So a lot of people try Christianity and they say, oh, I tried that, it didn't work for me. But the problem is, they never tried the all or nothing kind. I mean, they never really went all the way. Leaving everything behind. God, it's in Him I live and move and have my being. And my life is hid with Christ in God. I mean, I can't live without Him. I can't move without Him. I don't even have an identity. I was thinking about this message as God was talking to my heart about it. And I was sitting in my living room and I thought, what would I be without God? And I tried to just think of what Irvin Baxter Jr. would be if you take God out of his life. And it was obvious to me, I would be zero. I would be nothing. My life would be absolutely meaningless. I wouldn't know what to do when I got up in the morning. I would have no sense of identity whatsoever because He's everything to me. He's the reason I live. He's the reason I work. He's the reason I breathe. He's the reason I sing. He's the reason I do everything I do. And you know, if you don't know what that's like to live that way, it just dawned on me, I don't even have an identity outside of Jesus Christ. You take Jesus out of me and I don't know what you say about Irvin Baxter Jr. Because he's everything. Now let me see if I can make sure you understand this. Because if you want to really enjoy being a Christian, tap into this thing. Actually, I had someone say to my dad one time, why do you go to church so much? And this person was of a particular denomination. He said, we don't have to go to church as much as you do. Dad said, you're missing the point. When you really get the true thing, you want to go to church. Well, got a few amens to that anyway. So, Abraham was going to be a key player in the kingdom of God, just to make sure you understand how God thinks. spent 11 chapters covering 2,000 years of human history. The first 11 chapters of Genesis. He breezes through 2,000 years of human existence in 11 short chapters. He comes to one man that knew what all or nothing meant, slams on the brakes, and spends 12 chapters on the life of one man. A man by the name of Abraham. Now, God had special designs for Abraham because Abraham had a total devotion to God. But in order to make Abraham the father of the physical people of God upon this earth, the Jewish people, which God did, and to make Abraham the father of the spiritual people of God upon the earth, which God did, the church, because Abraham had his seed, Jesus Christ, and all of us are offspring of Jesus Christ, we take his name and we are part of his family. So, in order for Abraham to fill that role, God had to know something. Do I have all of you? Now, Abraham's life, he left his homeland, he left his kindred. You know, when you follow Jesus Christ, you got to leave everything. I got so tickled, I was out to eat with a millionaire one day here in this town. I think I ended up buying. I guess that's the reason he's a millionaire. But I was out to eat with a millionaire, and apparently he was being drawn to our church. But he said to me, he said, I couldn't come to your church because you teach tithing. I said, yes. He said, you do, don't you? I said, yes. I'm not ashamed of teaching the Bible. We teach the whole Bible. He said, well, do you realize if I paid tithes, how much that would be? How much I'd have to give? The answer was pretty obvious to me. I said, do you realize how much you'd get to keep? Man, it would hurt my feelings to have to pay $1,000 a week tithes. Wouldn't that be great? Amen. The malls would never be the same once my wife got hold of that other $9,000. You know, sometimes we don't think right. Satan deludes our mind. He messes with our brain. Well, he didn't get the message. But anyway, Abraham left homeland, left kindred, left everything to look to seek God, hungering after God, hungering after God. Oh, God loves it when we hunger after Him. And then God blessed Abraham, and God blesses everybody that walks with Him. He always does. But then once He blesses you, sometimes He becomes concerned lest you are starting to love your blessings more than you love Him. So once in a while, He'll come back down and take those blessings back for a little bit just to make sure. You know, just because you told Sister McFarland 20 years ago you loved her, that doesn't necessarily serve for today, Brother McFarland. She may want to hear it again today. And Abraham walked with God, and God blessed Abraham, and God gave him a son by the name of Isaac. And everything was great. Abraham was excited. He was happy. The promised seed was born. He had a promise, in Isaac shall all thy seed be blessed. Until one morning God said, Abraham, yes, Lord, I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac, and offer him as a sacrifice unto me on an altar on a mountain that I will show thee. Okay. Wood. Fire. Let's go. And somehow on that trek toward Mount Moriah, you know it is the Temple Mount in Israel today. On that trek toward Mount Moriah, putting God first,
became a very real thing in Abraham's life. Everything that he dreamed of was wrapped up in that boy right there. That was his promised child. But make sure you always worship the giver of the promise more than you worship the promise. Make sure you always worship the giver of the blessing more than the blessing. And what I'm here to tell you tonight, just in brief form, is this. You are serving an all or nothing God. Except you hate father, mother, sister, brother, houses, lands. You know, a lot of us can do all that, but this last phrase, even your own life. You've got to lose your... I don't want my identity. I want my life hid with Christ in God until it's in Him that I live, in Him that I move, in Him that I have my being. That's what I want to do. Okay, let me see if I can put this in terms you understand. I'm going to get off this love kick for after a while, but right now, you see, the Bible says, husbands love your wives as God loved the church. And this is a great mystery. And so the relationship of a man with a woman is very related. What are you grinning about, Kelly? I'm talking her language right now. She's getting ready to get married, she thinks. But when Judy and I were going together, she was 140 miles away. And there were still some fairly cute girls around our church. Some of them sort of like me. And she was 140 miles away. And we had to go somewhere out of town one night, and one of these girls... Now, I could have gone with that girl if I wanted to, but I was going with that one, because that's what I wanted to do. But one of these girls... I don't know. I think we had a car full of kids, and she ended up in the middle. I was driving. She ended up in the middle of the front seat somehow. I don't know whether she planned it or what happened, but anyway, it happened. Well, as I'm driving, the gas pedal on my car was sort of stiff, and my leg got tired of pushing the pedal. And I said something about it, so she volunteered to push the pedal for me. Would you do anything like that, Kelly? Would you ever do that? You would, too. I know you would. And she volunteers to push the pedal. Now, before God, that's all that happened. That's all that happened. But guess what? She finds out about it. You know how she found out about it? Another girl that wanted to go with me told her. Because she was trying to break me and her up so she could have me. I was feeling pretty important by this, so I had three girls after me. But the next trip to Richmond, after church is over, she sits with that girl during church, and they didn't have their mind on Jesus. They were talking. Because after service, I feel nothing but icicles. And I mean silent treatment. I don't have a clue. I done forgot about the gas pedal. I don't have a clue. But finally, I pried it out of her. You know, women like for you to pry it out of me. They like to dangle you over the fire and roast you a while. And it's the way they are. So I pried it out of her. I don't remember the words she used, but I know what she meant. What she meant was, all or nothing. That's what she meant. You either want me, or you want her. You act like you know what I'm talking about. Now, husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church.
to just show you how much she meant that. Okay. She gets me. She walks down the aisle. We get married. You should see her picture in the car as we're leaving the church. She's got the most blissful look on her face. You've got to look at our wedding picture sometimes. It's like, I got him. Am I telling the truth? That's exactly what it looks like. I got him. She should be happy, right? We set up housekeeping. And so I bring some of my stuff in. She brings her stuff in. What little bit we had, we didn't have much. We set up housekeeping in the apartment. And I had a little leather alligator about this long that this girl who pushed the gas pedal for me had bought for me when she went on vacation. We didn't have anything to make the house look like somebody lived there, so I thought, well, this will decorate something. I come home one day, and I look around. I said, where's my alligator? See, I was young and innocent, so I would know better now. But back in those days, she said, it's gone. Now, if you were up here right now, look at all the women in this church. Every one of you women know exactly what she was thinking, exactly what she was feeling. What are you dealing with? We're dealing with romance. We're dealing with love. We're dealing with loyalty. We're dealing with a vow. Now that's what I'm preaching to you about tonight. I'm telling you, you're serving an all or nothing God. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will cling to the one and despise the other. Because I'm an all or nothing God. Oh, I watch people sometimes try to serve God one foot in the world and one foot in the church. And I watch them pull this way and pull that way. One night they got the victory, the next night they don't show up. And they've never yet discovered the joy of turning loose, untying the rope, saying goodbye for the last time. Man, when I knew I was going to get married, all the other little cuties had to go. Goodbye. She didn't even want me looking sideways. You know why? She's an all or nothing woman. And she wanted an all or nothing husband. The rich young ruler comes running. Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Short version, all or nothing. Now, there are cheap versions of Christianity around. You'd find them. But if I were shopping for a parachute, I don't believe I'd go to the Army surplus and say, give me the cheapest one you got. I'm jumping out of that plane. Sir, I want the best one you got. I want one that's certified by a licensed parachute folder. I want to make sure that thing's going to open up. Let me tell you, I'm not trying to get the cheapest way to heaven. I want to know that I've gone all the way. If there's a bell and a whistle I need, give it to me. I don't care what the cost is. I'm willing to pay everything I got. I said I'm willing to pay everything I got. Father, mother, sister, brother, houses, lands.